It has already been an incredible morning for some of us. Started at 5 a.m. Yes, I have been awake that long, so you're going to hear some crazy today. But super glad that you're here. Welcome to everybody who's watching online. Please, again, a reminder, fill out that Connect card. It literally takes like 5-10 seconds, depending on how much info you're putting on there. But please do that for us. It really helps us stay connected. Also, we talked a couple weeks ago about how we asked for some people to turn in designs for a new sticker. We're always looking for sticker designs. And we had one person who turned it in. We started working with them to modify it, and they are in. So if you want one of these stickers, go talk to Jill. She can get you one. And these are just super cool, hand-drawn, but then kind of computerized. They're very, very cool. So I got one on my water bottle ready to go. And it's just a great reminder, might be a conversation starter. Super cool. We're going to be in Jonah. Now, just a little review of the story in case you didn't know. Jonah was told by God, he's a prophet, told by God, go preach to the people of Nineveh. Well, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. Assyria is the bad guys at the time. He doesn't want to go preach to them because they're the worst, you know? And so he says, I'm not going to go. He runs in the opposite direction. And then God sends a storm and the sailors try to save him. But instead he says, no, here's a good idea. Throw me overboard. And then they do. And then he gets swallowed by a fish. And then he prays his prayer. And he says, I'm going to fulfill my vows. And we talked last week about repentance and needing to come back and actually do what God's calling us to do. And not just say, I can follow God and do whatever I want. And now we're going to get to chapter 3. And basically, we're going to see how Jonah was kind of quiet quitting on his life mission. Now, quiet quitting is a very debated thing, but I found a couple of memes I want to show you. The first is this. It's so quiet in the office today, I can hear myself not working. Quiet quitting can get you in trouble. So here's the next one. I've decided to quit my job to pursue anxiety full time. Okay? And also, it can have this thing, as I did a search for quiet quitting, what I found online was the grammar police. Here's the difference between quit, quite, and quiet. So that's a whole other thing. Here's the thing. People are divided on quiet quitting because some people say, look, you need to have appropriate boundaries. You need to not be giving everything to work. That's a good thing. Other people are saying, no, it's just kind of being lazy, or it's leading to apathy. And here's the thing. Apathy, studies have shown, psychologists have shown, apathy is a defense mechanism of your heart to protect you from being hurt. Apathy is a defense mechanism of your heart to protect you from being hurt. The problem is it also prevents you from experiencing the passion for what God has made you to do. So when you have apathy on your life missions, what Jonah's going through, you're missing the best of what God has for your life. And I don't know if you realize this, after everything the whole world just went through, the default for most people is apathy to protect you from hoping the world was going to get better or we'll go back to normal, whatever the heck that was. And so we're going to have apathy to guard ourselves from being hurt. And the problem is that is preventing you from experiencing passion. When's that last time you felt passion, fired up, let's go, conquer the next hill, I'm ready to go for it, passion? You see, because you've guarded your heart and you said, I don't want to get hurt. And I think that's exactly what Jonah was going through. He's got a few other things going on as well, but let's pray as we dive in. Dear Lord, help us to find your passion. Your passion. You were passionate about finding us. You didn't just sit off and say, well, whatever. You went and pursued us and you suffered for us. Lord, help us to get passionate about your mission. The world needs it. Jesus, the world needs you. Help us to see the need and to run after the mission. And God, I know you're going to change us along the way. We love you. Lord, fill us up with your passion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, get a Bible. Find it, a Bible app, Bible paper out here. Get your eyes on these verses. There's not a ton of them. Jonah is written very, very succinctly. Great book. Very, very well written. Grab a Bible. We're going to look this up together. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. This is after the fish has spit him up. Get up and what? Go. Go. Just like that. Go. This is so common that God says to people in the Bible, go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given to you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. And on the day that Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, and Nineveh will be destroyed. In Hebrew, literally, this is five words. He is doing the bare minimum required to be a prophet. He doesn't say if you repent, God might forgive you. He just says, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. He repeats the same five words over and over and over and over again. This is like Oprah saying, destruction for you and destruction for you. You're destroyed and you're destroyed. Everyone's destroyed. Or if you're more of an animated person, it's like Mushu. Dishonor. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow. Okay. He just wants everyone's going to be destroyed. This is kind of how he's going. No hope in this message. And yet God is so good. Now, do not be like Jonah here, okay? But God is so good. The people of Nineveh believe God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast. And they put on burlap. That is not comfortable, to show their sorrow. Don't miss that the people fasted before the king did. They didn't do it because they had to. They didn't do it because they were ordered to. They do it because God had moved their hearts. And when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. This is the greatest empire of the world at that time. He stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Now, we just got to pause here and just note, if you look at Israel's history, which we have in the Bible, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, there's only really one time where the whole nation is mourning. It's under King Josiah. And fasting, this really didn't, even God's own people didn't really do this. Even kind of maybe more closer to home. How many times did it take for the king to repent when he heard the message of God? It took Jonah two times to obey. It took the wicked king once. Then the king and the nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even animals from your herds and flocks. You guys, they got it wrong. You don't have to make your animals suffer and mourn and fast. That's not going to help you. But they're going all in, right? The pagans are a little confused. Even the animals from your herds and flocks may eat or drink anything. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning. Just picture that on your cat right now or your dog, okay? And everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil way and stop all their violence. We talked about how violent the Assyrians were. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. And when God saw what they had done and how they put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind, literally relented in Hebrew, and he did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. God is working in every human heart. God, right now is working in every single human heart. Some people are resisting him. Some people are saying no to him. God is working in every human heart. When you're being out there sharing the message, you're not bringing Jesus, you're joining Jesus. Jesus is already there. He's already gone ahead of you. He's already working there. You're jumping into that work. You're being a little part of it. That's what Jonah was. God is working in every human heart. We know from archaeology that there have been a series of problems at this time in Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire. There have been some military defeats. There have been some uprisings. There have been even more for the Assyrians who were very, very superstitious. There were earthquakes. There was an eclipse. They are worried about this. And then God, through other prophets, you can read in the Bible, had sent messages to Assyria and Nineveh saying, stop, turn around, repent. You're going to have destruction. And then suddenly a prophet actually shows up. Not just any prophet, a prophet who is spit out of a fish and probably still smells. Shows up with this story and says, God has sent me to you. I didn't even want to come. Now, of course, he doesn't say any of that. All he says is five words, but he's got that smell. And he's repeating this message. And they've heard this message before. And all this stuff going on. God is working in every human heart. Don't miss this fact. God will sometimes even work through your disasters to point you back to Him. God will sometimes work through your disasters to point you back to Him. Anyone got a testimony? There are some stories, yeah? There are some stories, and maybe you're in it right now. And it doesn't mean God sent those things, but God can work through those things. Sometimes we need the hard things to wake us up to what's really, really important. The biggest miracle in the book, as people debate, you know, the fish thing all the time, the biggest miracle in the book is that the Assyrians repented. That's from scholar and commentator James Bruckner. Said that's the biggest miracle in the book. It's not, we all debate about the fish. The biggest miracle is that this group of violent pagan people, as soon as they hear the message, five words, their whole nation repents. That's unbelievable. Jonah was not, let me say this real quick. And historically, the Assyrians became Christians in large numbers. Assyrian Christianity is this massive movement started from people like Jonah, who wasn't even the greatest, right? He's kind of not that great. Jonah wasn't passionate, but God was. Jonah wasn't passionate, but God was, and so should we be. And I want to ask you right now to think, following up from last week when we talked about repentance, are you more like Jonah or are you more like God? God says, go make disciples. That's our commands for every single Christian. Are you more like Jonah or are you more like God? Or are you even like Jonah? Do you even go? Or you just go, I don't have to go. Not my job. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have YouTube channels. That's why we have other people like that. I don't have to do any evangelism. That's for somebody else. Or are you at least willing to be like Jonah and go out there and share five words? Or do you want to be like God, actually be passionate about reaching people and living your life mission and understanding how this all works together? And we're going to talk about that today, but we can be passionate. God worked hard before Jonah came. God sent Jonah. He allowed hard times. We can be passionate. Jesus said this in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You know how tough that verse is? As the Father has sent me out of my comfort zone, out of where I'm perfectly happy, out of sitting in heaven, as the Father has sent me down to a place where I'm going to be rejected, we're afraid of being rejected, out of a place where it's easy for me, where I'm going to be misunderstood, and I'm going to suffer. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Did you realize that when you said, I'm a follower of Jesus? You really want to follow Jesus? That's what following Jesus. Or is it, we just made this American Christianity version where it's like, Jesus is going to make you happier and wealthier and more-er something, right? Just whatever is your American value, just put Jesus stickers on that and everything's cool. Or is it, no, I want to live the way of Jesus, which is actually the way of life, which is actually the way of significance, which is actually the way of meaning. And we tap into it all the time when we see people who do more and they accomplish something in business or in work or in sports or in family. And you go, that's it. That's it. Oh, man, they had to pay a lot. It was sacrifice. It was passion. It was hard. I want that. Are you willing to be are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to be passionate? No. I just want it. I'm not willing to go for it. We talk about, can you be passionate in prayer? Can you be passionate in prayer? Can you take time every day and say, I'm going to be praying for people? God will move your heart when you start praying it. I've challenged our church to this. And I just keep wondering as your pastor, how many of you are just sitting there just going, God, I'm pouring out my heart, whether it's on your knees or on your bed or what. God, I'm pouring out my heart for lost people. Open up the opportunities. Open up the doors. Whether it's in your bracelet or your prayer card or whatever. Can you be passionate in listening to people? I do hear those stories from y'all. I love them when you're like, God just interrupted me. And I heard this story and like someone needed to be listened to and prayed for. And like, it was weird. I was in the right spot at the right time. It was crazy. Can we be passionate about serving people? Is there any need out there right now? Can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? You see how his ministry combined proclamation and serving? Healing, miracles, casting out demons, speaking against oppression. You put those together, and so should we. We can do them together. We can be passionate about it. Last week we talked about building hope, and you heard about building hope today. And last week we said, hey, you know, do the pledge card, grab the keychain. And I asked my team, I said, how many people made pledge cards? They said none. How many people grabbed keychains? Tons of people. And I thought to myself, it's easier to grab the swag than make the sacrifice. It's easier to grab the swag than make the sacrifice. And here's the thing. It's not about money. It's about passion. And your passion will always follow your finances. Your passion will always follow your finances. You show me where you're spending money, I will tell you where you're passionate. Always. Guaranteed. 100%. Whether it's your sports teams, whether it's your vacations, whether it's your own things, whether it's stuff that you're buying, that is your passion. If I start asking you about it, you will not stop talking. You'll just keep talking. Oh, I'm going to tell you endlessly about it. You can tell me everything about that because that's where your finances are. And I love when people say, hey, I'm on fire for the word of God and the people of God, and I want to have a heart for that. I can guarantee that's where your finances are too. Right? Because your finances, your passion always follows your finances. And as you heard our young people even saying, I remember being back there. I don't know if you all know this. I don't know if you know this. I want you just to picture this for a second. This is still the beginning of this church. We're not even 15 years old. You will be the last group of people who will say, I remember being in the old sanctuary. And you'll not only have a story of saying, we built it, and I sacrificed for it. I gave up vacations for it. I gave up things that I wanted for it because it wasn't going to get done with apathy. It wasn't going to get done with leftovers. It wasn't going to get done with, oh, I'll give a little bit. It had to have been sacrificial giving, things that you were giving up. And you can remember those things forever and go, that building's there because I was part of a group of people who were sacrificial. Woo! And you'll miss those days because apathy is more normal than passion. You'll miss those days. You'll miss these days. We have the opportunity to be here now when it's hard. And people will go, oh man, that must have been hard to give that much. And you say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Also, there was a global pandemic that happened right in the middle of it. And the price went up. And the challenges got higher. But I made a choice, even with inflation, to keep giving to God. Those are the stories that you hear from your grandparents and we wonder, are they dead? Are they gone? Or in our generation, can they live again? And we're not the only church doing it. There's churches around the world where Christians, God's people, are saying, I'm in. We're all looking for passion from somewhere else, but God, can you grow it in us? And can you have it be sacrificial in us? Can we do more than the bare minimum? I want to show you a clip from a movie called Office Space. Let's watch this.
We need to talk about your flair.
Really? I have 15 pieces on.
Okay, 15 is the minimum. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you know, it's up to you whether or not you want to just do the bare minimum. Or, like Brian, for example, has 37 pieces of flair. Okay? A terrific smile.
Okay, so you want me to wear more?
Look, Joanna, people can get a cheeseburger anywhere, okay? They come to Tchotchke's for the atmosphere and the attitude. Okay, that's what the flair is about. It's about fun.
Okay, so more than...
Look, we want you to express yourself, okay? Now, if you feel that the bare minimum is enough, then okay, but some people choose to wear more, and we encourage that. You do want to express yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Now, of course she doesn't have passion for that because it's not the mission of her life. It's not her purpose. It's not her passion. Again, the problem is we've learned apathy from other places, and then we come to church, we come to Jesus, and we go, I'm just going to live apathy here too. How can you actually get the passion of God, and how can you grow it? Let's talk about a few things. First is you need to understand your mission. You need to understand your mission. What is it that God's made you for? What is it that God's wired you for? If we're talking about evangelism, there's different evangelism styles. There's intellectual. There's confrontational. There's hospitality, like inviting people over to your house. There's invitation, like come to my church event, come to this next service or whatever. Okay, there's acts of service. There's even more. You got to figure out kind of how has God wired me to do evangelism and stop pretending you need to be someone else. If you're not a confrontational person, then confrontational style isn't going to be your style, right? If you're not someone who likes eating with other people, hospitality ain't going to be it. You got to figure out what your style is and live into it and say, I got to make it happen, because doing evangelism is not optional for a Christian. How you do it can be. You can change how it fits you, but you got to do it. You got to understand your mission. And here's the thing. Once you understand the mission, you're going to live it everywhere. You're going to live it at work. You're going to live it at home. You're going to live it at church. It's just going to be oozing out of you because you're living it, because it's your passion, because it's who you are. And that's one of the ways to go. How am I doing on this passion thing? I was talking to someone in our church this last week. He went to go sell something downtown to someone else, kind of made a connection there. And he goes down there, and it was actually some music equipment. And he goes down there and meets with a young man. And the guy says, I'm in a Christian band, but all my band people have moved away, and I'm lonely. And I feel like I don't have any connections. And the guy in our church says, well, it just so happens that I go to a church, and you should come, and come check this out. And what do you think about this? And the guy says, yeah, maybe I will check that out. And he's thinking, boy, this seems interesting that it just so happened that online I connected with this one person, and they were looking for a church home. They were looking for connection. Doesn't that seem weird? Is that coincidence or God? Goes outside the building. There's another young man who's sitting there, and he sees this young man, starts having an epileptic seizure. He's tensing up. He's doing his thing. And our guy in our church calls 911. Ambulance is on his way. But unfortunately, the young man who's on the sidewalk starts rolling down the sidewalk and winds up in the curb, hits his head on the curb, winds up in the curb, of course, because of all the rain, full of rain, and his mouth is in the water. You're not supposed to touch anyone when they're having a seizure, but this is literally life or death. Goes and grabs this guy, puts him back up on the sidewalk. Ambulance comes, takes him away. I'm talking to my brother in church, from our church, and I'm saying, is it weird to think that God put you right there at that time, to save someone's life? And he says, well, I don't know if he was actually going to die. I'm like, okay. But you think God has a purpose for your life? What if you left here today saying, God's guiding me? I'm not a mistake. This day isn't a mistake. This week, I'm going to go into tomorrow. God's going to guide me. God, where are the opportunities? Who are the people I'm talking to? What if you lived with purpose? Your heart is guarding itself because you're scared of being let down. God's not going to let you down. People will let you down. The church will let you down. Your work will let you down. God won't let you down. He can transform even your worst moments. Understand your mission. You have a mission, and it's not just church. It's your whole life. It's work. It's home. It's every relationship. It's every dollar. It's every part. It's every breath. You have a mission. Figure out how it fits into the mission of God. Christians don't find their purpose. We accept the calling from God. Let me say that again. Christians don't find their purpose. They accept God's calling. It always fits in to the mission of God. Your life mission will fit into this mission. And if you're trying to wedge Jesus into some materialistic, me-centered, looks very cultural type of thing, you're missing what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Live this mission and fit your work and your relationships and your finances and your time and your energy and your passion into that, and you will start to understand it. And that distinction makes all the difference. Understand your mission. It fits into something so much bigger than you and me. And once you have that, you're going to come alive, because you're going to realize, I get to be a little part of a big thing, and it's going to live beyond you. And even if you fail, God's word will not fail. So your fear of failure can go away, because whatever you fail in, it's already been forgiven. Understand your mission. Understand your mission. Number two, create opportunities. Create opportunities. Jesus said he seeks to save the lost. Jesus in John chapter 4, we looked at the woman at the well last week really quickly. Right before the woman at the well, Jesus said in John chapter 4, the Bible says in John chapter 4, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now just like the Assyrians with Jonah, the Jews in Judea did not like the Samaritans. They always went around, but it said Jesus had to go. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I have to go through Samaria? And it just so happens I ran into this woman at the well. And it just so happened that this woman was there at just the right time. I sent my disciples into the city. They came back with no one. I sent this woman who's in sin, who's been judged by her world for her sexual sin. God loved on her and sent her into the village, and the whole village comes out because of her testimony. That's what Jesus says. That's the Jesus we follow. Not that Jesus has this warped perception in our world that's just rude and judgmental. That's not Jesus. That's what some of Jesus' followers are like. Jesus created opportunities. What about you? What are some opportunities you can create? What are some ways you can go, I'm always going to check out at the same check stand? What if your kids are in sports? How do I do that? What if you're saying, hey, here are my hobbies or activities? What about at work? I don't want to talk to people at lunch. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you create some opportunities. Maybe if you're what you're praying for, you make a chance to, hey, I want to make that happen. I'm going to get out into the world. You know how hard this is for me? I can just sit in my office all week long, take care of church people all week long. But to actually say, I got to get out there and I got to get involved in the mission that Jesus is on because I am a Jesus follower before I am a pastor. They're both important, okay? But Jesus follower comes first. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching a sermon out in Florida. And I was talking on evangelism. As you can tell, this is easy for me to talk about. So they said, you want to come speak? I said, I'm going to talk about evangelism. They said, go for it. And one of the events that the church had coming up was a community fun day held at the church. And they had little cards made for it. And I said to everyone in the church, grab one of those cards, take it home, invite someone. Don't just listen to the sermon. Make it happen. Same thing we're saying to you all. Grab one of these cards. I want to know how many of these we're going to have left today. I hope it's none. But you're grabbing those going, I can hand one or two or three of these out. I can do it. So she comes, she leaves service. She comes back like 15 minutes later. Maybe it's about 30 minutes later. I'm talking to people. She comes back, she goes, I need more cards. I need more cards. I said, what happened? She goes, well, I grabbed one card and I thought maybe I'll do it this week. We'll see. And then as soon as I pulled my driveway, my neighbor was outside. And I said, where were you coming from? And she went, oh God, this is it. So she said, well, I was at church, and actually we have this event coming up next Sunday, and I want to invite you. And her neighbor stopped and said, I've been looking for a place to go with me and my family. I think we're going to come check it out. And they stopped and had like 3 or 4 minute conversation. She got right back into her car, drove back to church and said, I need more. I need more. Create opportunity. She said, I need 10 now. I started with one thinking, I don't know if it's going to happen. Now I need 10. Same thing has happened in this church. I've heard people say, I'm going to grab one of these cards and I'm going to try and give it out this week. And I'm going to put it on my car until I give it away. And then suddenly God does and they come back like, I need 30. Okay. Now don't like go and put these in the parking lot and people, no one likes that. Don't do that. Make an actual connection with someone. Okay. And actually go out there and invite people and say, hey, how do we do this? Can you leave today saying, I'm going to create an opportunity? I didn't just hear this message. I want to live this message. I want passion in my life. Number 3 is persevere. Persevere. Jesus said, if they called me demon-possessed, what do you think they're going to call you? What do you think they're going to call you? We want to do evangelism with no passion and expect the world to change. And everyone would get it because we got it. Well, that's not the way it is. Okay? There's always going to be excuses not to do evangelism. Always. Can you make a choice today to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay the price. Your passion grows when you pay the price. A few months ago, the rain was going crazy. As you all know, we'd always have the quickest draining in our parking lot. It was so bad, there was really basically no way into the building. It was like we had a moat, right? And so if we had a moat, I need to make a bridge. So I'm there just to kind of do the sermon stuff. And I was like, well, we got to figure something out. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of freaking out. Like, this is going to hold people away from church and people aren't going to come. And like, you all made it today in the rain, right? No big deal, right? A lot of passion in this room right now. I appreciate that, right? Okay. And so I get there and I start grabbing pallets. We got a bunch of pallets stored over here. I grab pallets. I'm putting them over off the handicap kind of thing, which is covered too. I'm building pallets. I'm putting wood boards. And I get some guys and they show up to church and like, we'll help you out. And we're literally helping people across our little janky pallet bridge to get into the building. And in walks one of our older people in the church. And so we have to really help her across. And I said, I'm so glad you came. I was worried you wouldn't come. And she said, why would a little water hold me back from the house of the Lord? She said, I'll walk in here if I have to take my shoes off. It's just water. And I tell you what, I was humbled because I was so afraid that the people of God would be held back by water. You know why I'm afraid of that? Because sometimes it does. How little does it take for God's people to lose faithfulness? But how great is it when you're surrounded by people who say, who cares? It's just water. I'll take off my shoes if it means I can be in the house of the Lord. It's so good when you pay the price. If you want to see your passion grow, pay the price. And this isn't just true in church. It's anywhere. That's how you get to deeper relationship with your pets, deeper relationship with your kids, deeper relationship to work or a passion project. You had to pay the price. In fact, it's wired into our DNA. The word passion, passio, pathos, comes from the word suffering. That's why we call it the passion of Jesus. If you want to have passion for Jesus, pay the price. Go the hard path. Go what's called the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, and you will find the passion of God coming up in you. It will change everything. And this will affect every area of your life. Passion. Jonah didn't have it, and I hope you're not trying to follow Jesus like Jonah. That's not the way to go. Again, I want you to think about, can you leave saying, I'm going to pray? Can you leave saying, I'm going to grab a handful of these things? Can you leave saying, I'm in? I want to tell you a story. You're kind of wrapping up. I want to tell you a story about Ida Robinson. Ida B. Robinson, born in 1891 in Georgia as the seventh of 12 children. And she was a born leader. They say when she was a child, she was just always telling people, here's what you do, here's what you do. She committed her life to the Lord at 17 through a sermon about repenting from temptation. And she said, that's what I need. And she repented and she gave her life to the Lord. 19, she got married to her husband Oliver and they moved to Philadelphia. And at their small church, she began preaching. Well, actually, she was invited to church to sing. And she started singing, but she couldn't help preaching. So she'd sing, and then she'd preach, and then she'd preach, and then she'd sing. And she'd just go back and forth. And people loved it. And they were eating it up. Now, this is like the 1920s, 1910s, right? This is a while ago. And so people are coming to the Lord, and the church is growing. And now don't forget here, there's challenges. There's challenges. She's black and she's a woman and she's preaching the word of God. Right? But she didn't care. She just kept going. She eventually formed the Mount Sinai Holy Church of America, knowing the Holy Spirit had called her. They started 84 churches in her lifetime, ordained 160 ministers, the majority of whom were women because God had called them. They started a school, they started a retreat center, and they did mission work in Cuba and Guyana. You have a mission for your life. What is holding you back? Can you let go of apathy? Right now, can you let go of apathy? Can you let go of the, I don't want to, I can't, there's other things, I'm too busy, I'm going to get rejected, people aren't going to like me, they're all going to laugh at me. Can you let it go and say, God, I'm in, no matter what the cost, I'm in. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be respectful to people, don't be rude, but I'm going to go. I'm going to find that passion. And I'm going to tell you, when you start living that mission of Jesus, you will be transformed along the way. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for everything you've done for us. You suffered for us. You are passionate about us, God. And you didn't call us to be saved and sit in a pew. You've called us to go and follow you. God, for those in this room and those who are listening online who are hurting, help them to hear that you're with them and you love them. And even in the darkest, you are still working. God, for those who are just experiencing apathy, help them to take a step of passion. God, you don't want us to be like Jonah. You want us to be like Jesus. Help us to have that passion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.